You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friends and colleagues, Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Top of the morning to you.
Outstanding. Carol, I understand that the Greater Atlanta HBA has a new website coming?
It is definitely coming. The marketing relevance team has been busy working on it. It's going to be more consumer friendly and more home builder member friendly than the old site ever was. So hopefully everybody will go take a look at it and check it out and let us know what they think and find lots of good content on the site.
Well, outstanding. Look forward to seeing that. We've got a great show for you today. Say hello to our first guest. His name is Terry Russell. He is the CEO of Front Door Communities. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Good to see you again. Terry, before we get into it, remind the audience a little bit about you and your background.
I have been in the home building business for close to 30 years. I spent 22 of those years with John Whelan Homes and the last five of those as CEO. I now own a company called Front Door Communities with my partner, Mike Langella, another alumni, if you will, from John Whelan Homes and Neighborhoods. A wonderful guy, and we're very active in several markets: Orlando, Naples, Charleston, and Atlanta. And our first community in Atlanta is a community I think we're talking about this morning.
Orlando, Naples. Where's the third city?
Charleston.
Wow, and Atlanta.
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit more about Front Door Communities.
We actually started the company as a fee management company during the downturn. We're able to secure great home building opportunities in each of the cities that we were operating our fee management business. So it gave us a great lift in each of those markets. It allowed us to solidify a presence in those markets and give us, if you will, the running room to be up and running at a time when business was quite bad. So while we were, you know, as you may consider it, fixing broken communities, we were in the process of launching new ones. Last year, we took on an equity partner, a company called IHP Capital Partners out of Newport Beach, California, and that has given us the capital we need, along with some great relationships with local banks, to be out on the buy side and compete in what's a very crowded market.
So you're just getting started here in Metro Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about what you've got going.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, having been here most of my career, it felt odd to not be in my own backyard. We have been looking actively at projects in Metro Atlanta. It was a little premature 2 years ago to launch anything, whereas in other portions of the country and Charleston, South Carolina specifically, the market had already started to heal itself. But in the last year or so, the Atlanta market has started to generate some activity. It's turned into a relatively narrow demand corridor, if you will, but where that demand is very high. And so the project that we are opening, our first one, which is in South Forsyth, is right, you know, dead center of where the demand is.
Now, how big is that project? How many lots and what type of homes?
Sure. It is, it's 420 home sites and 184,000 square feet of commercial. And it actually was a downzoning from an original plan that was 680 home sites and like 1 million square feet of commercial. And
wow.
So we downzoned it to something that we think is realistic in the marketplace today. Have multiple price points in the community, have an interesting connection between the commercial and the residential. We created a park plan, so there's 12 parks in the community. We have multiple lot sizes. We picked another builder to be in the community with us, that'd be the Providence Group. When we put this community under project, pretty much every builder in Atlanta called me and said, "Hey, why don't you let us in this community?" Because it is an absolutely superb location. And since it has some scale, they knew that, you know, there was going to be an opportunity for other builders. And so we picked Providence Group because we think they best mirror the kind of execution that we have at Front Door Communities, which is more architecturally sensitive and not just a big box.
All right. We'll be back with Terry Russell after this short commercial break. Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media.
public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
Okay, and we're back with Terry Russell, the CEO of Front Door Communities.
Terry, before the break, you were talking about the narrow demand corridor, or corridors, maybe. A couple questions. What makes South Forsyth attractive? What makes it the center of that demand corridor you're talking about?
What else is next? That's an even better question. South Forsyth has excellent schools, or these days, that location first, school second. Those are the primary drivers of demand in the home building business. It's access to 400. It's access to Windward, where there's still a considerable amount of job creation, makes it an ideal location. Everything that you might consider to be closer in, say North Fulton South, is infill at this point. So there are no land parcels, very many land parcels south of any scale. And so this is, what's going to eventually be about 170 acres, 158. That we've closed on or have closed the first piece of. There's not a larger tract south of us on 400 that I know of anyway that's available today.
So what about amenities? I know that you've got parks planned, but any swimming pool, tennis courts, are those all things of the past?
No. The buyers are still looking for, a way to entertain their family and not leave the community. We for sure have swim, tennis planned. We are actually trying to be a little more cutting edge than just putting in a pool and a clubhouse. It's going to be more outdoor centric, I think, in a lot of ways. A lot more use of outdoor spaces and expandable spaces within the amenities. We have a partner in this project, which is Lamar Wakefield of Wakefield Beasley Architects, which is another way that we are reinforcing the architectural theming of the community. Lamar and his team will be designing the amenities and all the parks, and as well as working with us on all the architecture for both our homes and for Providence Group. So we're going to try to be a little more cutting edge than just, checking the box on having swim tennis. And what that means today, I can't totally articulate, but I can tell you that it'll be more outdoor-centric. It'll have people congregating outdoors instead of always trying to be in some big rec room in the middle of a project. There is a really nice lake on the property. The amenities are immediately adjacent to, so we'll have some sort of a trail system that goes around the lake and around the amenities.
That sounds like a really cool layout. I'm kind of anxious to watch it as it develops. Any other areas or projects you've got going or planned?
I have one in Roswell we're working on right now I can't tell you about. Actually, I have two in Roswell we're working on I can't tell you about.
Okay.
But one of them I can come back next month and tell you about.
Okay,
and then,
we'll remember that.
And then we have three or four other things. Basically, our focus is on urban, suburban infill, and it's hard to call, 420 home sites infill. It just happened to be a very unique opportunity. Most everything that we look at is 150 home sites or less. And so most of the other projects I'm looking at are of much smaller scale than the one in South Forsyth. So, there's plenty to talk about, but give me a couple more months.
Okay.
We'll just have to have you back. I know that you're involved in a lot of different organizations in Atlanta. Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with ULI?
Well, I actually have been more involved with ULI on a national level than Atlanta recently, anyway. I was the chair of, or am the chair, outgoing chair of our Community Development Council nationally, which is developers from around the country, along with professionals from around the country, meeting and sharing ideas. And that's, frankly, a lot of the inspiration for some of the things that we'd like to pursue at Traditions. That's been a lot of my focus, in terms of my time with ULI. I'm still on the executive committee in Atlanta. I am the former chair of ULI Atlanta. Do anticipate getting back involved more extensively in the next couple of years now that I'm rolling off of my national responsibilities.
Well, Terry, I hate to say it, but we're running low on time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Front Door Communities?
You can go to our website at www.frontdoorcommunities.com. That's the fastest way, and there's plenty of ways to reach us once you get there.
Terry Russell, the CEO of Front Door Communities. Terry, it's good to see you again. Thanks for coming back and joining us.
Thank you.
All right. The deal of the day is next, but stick around for our final segment with special guest Sally Bethea. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day.
All right, Carol, what have you got for us?
Well, this is a very cool deal of the day from Lennar Atlanta, but you got to act fast because it's only good through July 21st.
Ooh, that is quick.
Yeah, so if you're in the market for a new house, if you visit any Lennar community, you can register for a chance to win a gas grill.
I just wore my gas grill out. The thing just fell apart on me, so I need a new one anyway.
Yeah, it's the time of year everybody's cooking out and grilling out, and everyone needs a new gas grill, right?
And this is any Lennar?
Any Lennar neighborhood. Cool. And if that's not enough,
there's more.
If you buy now, you can get up to $10,000 in extras, and that could include Lennar's outdoor living package, a sunroom, upstairs bonus media room, finished basement, or upgrades to designer finish options.
Wow, I can't decide which one I'd go for.
Boy, well, what kind of communities are available? I mean, you got to decide that part too, right?
Well, you know, I guess so.
They build all over town. So they've got properties in Forsyth and East Cobb and West Cobb. And, you know, we can talk about some of their specific communities, estates at Big Creek and Forsyth. They've got homes from low to the mid 300s, 2,800 to 3,400 square feet, large living areas, spacious bedrooms, hardwoods, granite countertops, sunrooms. Yeah, owner's suite sitting rooms, outdoor living areas, media rooms, and the neighborhood has fantastic amenities as well.
Yeah, plus 10 grand and a gas grill.
Exactly. So, yeah, well, a chance to win a gas
grill.
Well,
a chance. I just make the assumption I'll win it.
You're going to win it?
Yep.
You're just that lucky,
yep.
Huh? You better be playing the lottery then, Todd.
Yeah, well.
Well, and then they're also offering $5,000 in closing costs.
Well, there's more.
There's more, right. There's more. You've got to use their preferred lender, which is Universal American Mortgage Company. And when you purchase a home, then they'll give you an extra $5,000 in closing cost.
So a chance to win a grill, up to $10,000 in goodies, $5,000 in closing. Wow, this is a great deal.
And
but you do have to move quick.
You got to move quick and, you know, fantastic locations. You know, again, East Cobb from the high 300s.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable prices. Three sides of brick there. That's Wiggly Preserve. Hardwood, stainless steel GE appliances. They're all energy efficient. They've got the Nexia Home Intelligence Package and 4 to 6 bedrooms in Marietta Lassiter High School.
It's time.
Wow.
I'm going to have to leave.
Todd's got to run. He needs to go buy one.
Not much time.
Well, with those incentives, Todd, I can move quick on that.
You betcha. Yep.
Going, going, gone.
Where can people get more information on this, Carol?
Glad you asked. They can go to LennarAtlanta.com or call 404-931-7462.
All right. Well, that wraps today's amazing deal of the day. Right, and we're back with our next guest. Say hello to Sally Bethea. She is the Executive Director and Riverkeeper with Chattahoochee Riverkeeper. Welcome to the show, Sally.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us, Sally. Before we get into a conversation around the Chattahoochee, give us a quick rundown on you and your background.
Sure. Well, I've lived here in Atlanta all my life. I grew up on a small tributary to Nancy Creek, which flows into Peachtree Creek, which flows into the Chattahoochee River. So I've been drinking the water, and the Chattahoochee has been in my veins for many, many years. I have a master's degree from Georgia Tech in environmental planning, and I am the founding director of the Chattahoochee Riverkeeper. We started up in 1994.
That's really neat. So is drinking the water a little bit like drinking the Kool-Aid?
I think it is. People tend to forget that we are all 60% water. So the cleanliness of this river is really critical to us and our families.
Oh, absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about Chattahoochee Riverkeeper and how you started that organization.
Sure.
And
sure. Well, we are one of 200 water keepers around the world. There's an International Water Keeper Alliance. And so we were about the 11th organization to start with this cool name. It's a trademark name. They're bay keepers, sound keepers, water keepers, and I'm a river keeper. And so we, I've been doing environmental work since the 70s and was just in the right place in the early 90s when Ted Turner's Foundation was interested in starting a Chattahoochee Riverkeeper for our river. There had been many good efforts over the years to protect the river, particularly in metro Atlanta, but we took a whole watershed approach from the mountains above Helen, downstream through Atlanta, down to the border with Alabama, and now all the way to Florida.
Wow. I mean, that was you answered the question I was thinking of. So you're looking at all of the tributaries. There's a reason you talked about where you grew up. I mean, what do you, more specifically, what do you do? Is it keeping the river clean, cleaning the river up?
Yeah, people often think I'm just out in the boat every day riding around looking at the river, and I wish I was. I certainly do some of that. But when you think about it, the river is simply the sum of all the tributaries. So they've got to be clean for the river to be clean. So we know now, and scientists have proven, that you've got to work on a watershed approach. That's the land area on which rain falls, flows over the ground, under the ground, to get into a river, and ultimately down to the sea. And so our work is daunting, but we work to protect water quality by monitoring. We're out with volunteers and our trained staff testing the river, testing tributaries. That's one thing we do. We have a floating classroom on Lake Lanier where we every year take 4,000 or 5,000 kids out working with a nature center. So we're talking about the river. We talk about how pollution gets into the river, how we can stop that, why it's important. For our own health, for property values, which is important to you guys particularly, I know. You've got a piece of property with a clean river running past it. It's going to be a lot more valuable than a muddy or polluted one. So teaching, educating, monitoring, research, policy work at the state capitol, legislative work, and occasionally a lawsuit or two if we can't resolve things any other way.
So when you're monitoring, what exactly are you looking for and what actions do you take based on what you find?
Well, we have a program, Neighborhood Water Watch, in which we're testing for bacteria levels in the streams and in the river itself. We know that the federal standard is 235 for body contact recreation. That's the standard. And so we have, for instance, in Atlanta, 30 to 40 stations where every week volunteers take a sample, bring it to our lab, and we take a look at it. Just a week ago, we went out to Tanyard Creek off Collier Road and found a massive sewage spill. Dead fish, a problem from a private apartment complex that the power had gone out and the stuff from the apartment was going straight into a creek running through people's homes and through a city park. We knew who to call. The city came out. They did a great job, and we resolved that problem. So we test for a lot of things.
All right. We'll be back with Sally Bethay after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Sally Bethay, Executive Director and Riverkeeper with Chattahoochee Riverkeeper.
Sally, you were talking a lot about keeping water clean, I mean, and over a vast area. I start thinking about all the tributaries and the land around it. Atlanta is infamous, perhaps, for having, frankly, a broken-down sewage treatment system. I mean, how do you play into that? I mean, it's got to be part of what you're thinking about and working on.
Absolutely. Well, we started in 94. We knew that the biggest thing to get our arms around was the fact that for decades, the city of Atlanta had been dumping raw sewage every time it rained into streams and then into the river. And neither the EPA nor the state EPD was doing anything about it. And so through a long process, we decided to join with folks downstream, and unfortunately we had to go to federal court to get the city to comply with the Clean Water Act. So today, the streams and the river below Atlanta are measurably cleaner. We still have work to do for sure. But also downtown development, that if you recall in the 90s, there was potentially moratoriums on development. And because the capacity has been increased as we've improved the environment, Mayor Kasim Reed says close to $18 billion of new investment has been allowed. So it shows the environment, a good environment and a good economy are critical one to the other. And that's what we work towards. But we don't just work on pollution issues. We work on quantity issues. And so we're involved with the Tri-State Water Wars as well.
That's a whole nother interesting subject, isn't it? What types of water wars are going on this year? It seems like all it has done is rain and rain and rain and rain. Does that make everything easier?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, what we know when we look back over the decades is that Mother Nature gives us rain and then she takes it away. And droughts will come again. It's just a matter of when. And this year we've had a gracious plenty of rain. Lanier is higher than ever. I was just out yesterday and it's amazing. But we still have the issue of trying to figure out how to share among three states, communities throughout the water basin, and industries, hydropower, farmers, recreation. And the critical time is when there's a drought, when there's not enough. You know, you have a plate of cookies and you've got more children than you have cookies. How do you divide it up fairly, legally, and equitably? And we get involved looking out for water quality, ecology, recreation, things that often are given short shrift.
So we know sharing can often be hard, but there's also, you know, in addition to sharing, we need to be thinking about conservation. So what are some tips you can give to some of our listeners for things they can do at home to conserve water?
Well, we do have a large No Time to Waste program, and we're happy to come and do presentations for civic groups. Just check out our website at chattahoochee.org. But Atlanta can do so much more, Metro Atlanta, that is, with water conservation. Leaks in the system are significant. We need to be stopping the leaks. We need to help local governments do that. We're wasting water. We need to retrofit old plumbing. Probably 600,000-plus homes in Metro still have the old-fashioned plumbing that can take 3 to 7 gallons of drinking water, treated water, to move our waste around. That's just silly in this day and time. Don't water, and you don't need to this year, but when we're in a drought, be careful about outdoor watering. You know, let's use native species, rain harvesting. Do you have a rain barrel, a cistern? It's a great way to get the water you need to have a healthy garden. So those are some of the things that we see, and we see some stellar successes. But if you go to our website, you'll see at chattahoochee.org a long list of things that you can do in your homes and at businesses. We need to be way more efficient than we are.
But along the same lines, I'm thinking just of the sheer magnitude of your mission, and you probably don't have a $5 or $6 billion budget to work with. And obviously lots and lots of things that we as individuals can do in the conservation arena that you were just talking about. But do you have a large volunteer force, and what kind of opportunities are there to help? This is such an important, critical issue.
I appreciate your saying that, because of course the Chattahoochee provides drinking water for nearly 4 million people. And you know, it is the liquid lifeline that runs through our communities, that's an amenity to property, to real estate. And so we do have a staff. Our annual budget's about $1.4 million. We have a wonderful staff, but there is more to be done. We have over 1,000 volunteers who join us on trash cleanups. We pull stuff, tons of trash. Every spring we have a big sweep the hooch. We get people involved with monitoring. So if you go to our website again, chattahoochee.org, you can sign up to be a volunteer. Come to our events. Just 3 weeks ago, we had a big annual river race and festival. So have a good time, paddle trips, cleanups, monitoring. Just get involved and be one of our members. We've got more than 6,800.
Cool.
Wow, that's a healthy membership base. Sally, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Chattahoochee Riverkeeper?
Well, you can go to our website at www.chattahoochee.org, sign up for our e-blast, or join, or come out on a paddle trip. We've got them this summer and fall.
Outstanding. Sally Bethay, the Executive Director and Riverkeeper with Chattahoochee Riverkeeper. It was great to have you, Sally. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's broadcast. Check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a customer rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guests, Terry Russell, Sally Bethay, show producer Delaney Langston, my co-host Carol Morgan, and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum radio show.